Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stenny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us to begin another week of broadcasting the gospel of the grace of our God. And I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're continuing our study on the subject, revival. You remember the Bible said in the book of Psalms 85, verse number 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And we've been looking at the thought of revival for several days. We began this portion of our study by asking the question, do we need revival? And then when I finish that, I want to deal with what kind of revival do we need? But I want to back up today and review about the need of revival. And I said to you that the need of revival is manifest in our culture. When you look at all the problems, the sin, the wickedness of the culture in the society that you and I live in, then you understand, if you know anything about God, that revival is the only answer. I said to you, there are three areas of our society that reveal the need of revival. Number one, the culture that we live in cries out, we need revival. Number two, the churches of our day cries out, we need revival. And number three, our country cries out, we need revival. The need of revival is manifest everywhere in all three of these areas. In our culture, I pointed out to you, the drug problem cries out, we need a revival. Second, I pointed out to you, the drinking problem that we have in America cries out, we need revival. Thirdly, I pointed out to you, the dressing problem, the revealing of all of the flesh and nakedness of our day cries out, we need revival. Number four, the divorce problem that we have in America cries out, we need revival. And then number five, the disrespect and disobedience of our culture cries out, we need a revival. And I thought as I was looking back over the study, I did not mention the abortion issue of our day. All of the babies that have been killed and all of the blood that has been shed and drips from the fingertips of this culture that has legalized the murder of the unborn, all of that abortion issue cries out one thing. We've wandered far away from God and we need a revival. But then I said to you, not only the need of revival is manifest in our culture, but the need of revival is manifest in our churches. And I simply took the word revival, did an acrostic on it, and here's what we gleaned. First of all, the need of revival is manifest when we have rebellion instead of repentance. Second, the need of revival is manifest when we have excuses instead of excitement. Thirdly, the need of revival is manifest when there is so much vanity and so little victory. Number four, the need of revival is manifest when we have indifference instead of involvement. Number five, the need of revival is manifest when we have vagueness instead of vision. Number six, the need a revivalist manifest when we have arguments instead of ambition. And number seven, the need a revival is manifest when we have laziness instead of liveliness. So I said to you, the need a revival is manifest in our culture, and the need a revival is manifest in our churches. But then thirdly, I said to you, the need a revival is manifest in our country. And I pointed out to you, America was not established as a communist nation. It was not established as a heathen nation, but it was established as a Christian nation. And all of the early documents of our nation have many mentions of God and the advancement and cause of God's kingdom in them. And then I pointed out to you in Proverbs 14, verse number 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Then I pointed out to you in Psalm 33 and verse number 12, where the Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Again, we saw in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 2, the Bible said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And then we look at Psalms 9:17, where the Bible said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. So I said to you, do we need a revival? And the answer is yes. And it's manifest in our culture. It's manifest in our churches. And it is manifest in our country. Now then, I want to move on today in our study to a second question and ask, not only do we need a revival, but I want to deal with what kind of revival do we need? As we look at this, I want to make this statement and then build upon it. Let me say to you, we need a revival that will affect our total being. We do not need a revival that will just simply stir us for a brief time, and then we will drift right back into the state of apathy and sin that we've been in. We need a revival that will change us, that will affect our total being, our mind, our soul, in our body. And I want to say to you, friend, that such a revival is possible. But let's go to the Word of God and look first of all at the thought, we need a revival that will affect our thinking. And of course, this deals with our mind. And the Bible has much to say about our mind. You remember the Bible said in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need the mind of Christ. I believe every adult that listens to me today would agree quickly with me that we live in a society that is so filled with sin and permissiveness that it is terribly hard to keep your mind pure and your thoughts pure as you go about your daily life. But let's look in the Bible and see what the Word of God says about our thinking. First of all, I remind you that the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Listen to me, dear friend, today. What you continually think on is what you will become. What you continually think on is what you will eventually do. Again, the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then there's a little phrase found over in the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse number 2 that I enjoy looking at. Paul said these four words, I think myself happy. Now, friend, listen to me. I am not talking about some psychological effect by some worldly procedure, but I'm talking about a Bible principle. What you think on will affect how you feel and how you behave. So Paul said, I think myself happy. I wrote this down in my notes. There are some folks who think themselves mad. There are some folks who think themselves bad. There are some who think themselves had. But I want to be one that thinks myself glad. If you think negatively, you will feel negatively. You will act negatively. You will be negatively. But if you think positively, then you will feel positive and you will act positive and you will be a positive person. Don't let the devil control your thinking faculties and cause you to think yourself into being what you should not be. We need a revival that will affect our mind, our thinking. Listen to these verses found in Philippians chapter number 4. The Bible said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So the Bible teaches us that our thinking will affect our living, and it will affect our victory. It will affect our joy. It will affect our actions. And so we need a revival that will get our thoughts set upon the Lord and upon His Word and upon His work and upon His blessings upon our life. And friend, when that happens to us, then it will change our entire life. So I say to you, first of all, we need a revival that will affect our thinking. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. As you look at the calendar, you see we're approaching Thanksgiving, and that means camp meeting time once again here at the Faith Baptist Camp. Let me invite you to make plans to join with us. We begin on Sunday evening on the 23rd of November, and we'll go through Friday night, the 28th. We're located at Resaca, Georgia. That's about 45 miles south of Chattanooga and about 70 miles north of Atlanta, just off Interstate 75. Pastor Sammy Allen, the folk of the Concord Baptist Church, invite you to join us for a great week. And then remember, I need to hear from you. Take the time out today, write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Again, onward, it's growing.